Well, the military man charged with leading Australia's COVID vaccine rollout held a brainstorming session with the states and territories today. 6 months after vaccines were first rolled out here, they're said to be planning the fastest way to get shots into arms, particularly when big deliveries of Pfizer arrive later in the year. On the other side of the world, with 64% of its population vaccinated and thousands of new cases each day still, the British government says it's aiming to lift restrictions in England in 2 weeks' time. The strategy has some strong critics. But should Australia, with such low case numbers, embrace the same strategy? David Sparks has been considering the issues.
With his background in the Defence Force, it's no surprise Lieutenant General John Frewen wants all the pieces in place when the supply of vaccines increases in September and October.
Military planners, we're always planning for the most likely scenario and the what we call the worst case scenario. So we think if you have a think about the sorts of things that can go wrong early, that just helps build resilience into the program. So we weren't foreshadowing any specific scenarios. We were just looking at some of those likely things that could happen in terms of, disruptions, that it's best we think about them as a collective group.
Lieutenant General Frewen held the session with the states and territories to identify possible obstacles that could slow the rollout down and to lay out plans to overcome them.
As a result of today, I have a better understanding of the various capacities of the states and territories, how they will be managing their rollouts as we go forward.
He's got another meeting tomorrow with business and industry leaders to talk about how they can help. Given the demand for shots and the delays in getting hold of enough Pfizer, the Lieutenant General knows many Australians are counting on his success. The New South Wales Chief Health Officer, Dr. Kerry Chant, says in the long term, the rollout is the key to moving beyond the threat of lockdowns.
We need to get about 80% of the population vaccinated. We need to do that as swiftly as we can. At the moment, the constraint is supply. Once we achieve that, that will be another point of recalibrating our response.
Around the world, many countries are moving ahead with plans to bring back a sense of normal life. One of those is the United Kingdom, where Prime Minister Boris Johnson has declared he wants to take England out of lockdown on the 19th of July. He acknowledges the case numbers will rise, but he says with 64% of the population fully vaccinated, fewer people who get the virus will need to be hospitalised, and it's time to take the plunge.
On balance, given the massive success of the vaccine rollout, given the fact that this is a propitious moment, a good moment to do it, given the coming summer holidays, the natural fire break we have there, I think this is a balanced and a cautious approach.
If his plan goes ahead, masks will no longer be compulsory indoors and there'll be no limits on social contact. It's exactly the kind of roadmap many people in Australia are calling for. But Professor Mike Toole from the Burnet Institute says Boris Johnson is making a reckless mistake.
I don't think it's the right pathway at this time in the UK. Just yesterday, they reported 27,000 new cases. That's the equivalent in a population of Australia of about 10,000 cases. So it's quite extraordinary that they would be talking about easing some of the very basic prevention measures. They have announced that the mandatory wearing of masks indoors will be scrapped. And also, quite mysteriously, the scanning your QR codes, that's such an easy thing to do, and it would help with contact tracing enormously. So in dropping that, they're kind of basically dropping contact tracing. It just doesn't make sense to me.
One of their justifications appears to be that now that a larger section of their population is vaccinated, the still large number of cases they're getting is not being reflected in large hospitalizations. And that's because the vaccinations are preventing people who get the virus from getting really, really sick. Is there any merit in that argument to ease these restrictions?
I don't think so, because 40% of their population is not vaccinated.
So I guess perhaps the philosophy behind the UK's newly announced approach is an acceptance of living with the virus and a certain number of cases in order to get back to normal life and normal economic activity. Do you think that Australians are keen to perhaps go down a similar path?
Well, I think they would be eventually, and that would basically be the phase two of the plan that the Prime Minister has released. The problem is we're still early in phase one. we've vaccinated 9% of our population, if that. And so to get to where the UK is going to take most of this year. And then we know from various countries that 60% isn't enough to stop transmission and all the consequences that I talked about. Now, I think in phase two, you know, we would possibly be able to live with outbreaks of, say, 2-3 cases a day that didn't spread quickly and that those people were not hospitalized. But we can see from Sydney at the moment, with just over 300 cases so far, you know, there's 6 people in ICU and 2 are on ventilators. I don't think we want to live with the virus in that way.
Professor Mike Toole from the Burnet Institute. David Sparks, our reporter.